Welcome back to the Safety Storytellers Podcast. My name is Stacy and I am your host. Safety helmets aren't what they used to be, and we're moving away from typical safety hard hats, which don't have chin straps, and we're moving towards innovative safety helmets with chin straps, vents, and a whole bunch of other really cool features. In this chat, I talk with Ryan Barnes of Stutzen, a head protection company, about the evolution of industry safety helmets. Okay, Ryan, you're with Stutzen. This is your company.
Yes, I'm the founder.
So where did this name come from?
It came from my kids, Stella and Hudson.
This is great. I love this. I was like, is that your last name? And yeah. You're like, no, it's from my kids. That's really sweet. Okay, so you have some helmets here to look at. And then when I first met you, you know, you said they're going from hard hats to helmets.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we launched a couple of years ago. We've been selling helmets in the market for the last year and three quarters. And over the last year, it's like, wow, the transition is moving so rapidly. It's crazy. It's exciting. Great opportunity for us and other brands in the space. The commercial general contractors, the big commercial general contractors, are really driving the change.
Okay, why?
Well, if you look at the history of the basic hard hat, it was designed in 1919. It was leather dipped.
Does it look okay?
It looks great.
Great. Okay.
The traditional hard hat was designed to protect you from falling
objects.
Would you
like to put yours on too?
I would love to.
I think we need to both wear these. This is wildly comfortable. This is really comfortable.
Yeah. You need a little.
You look great. Can we adjust this? Let's see. Because safety first.
There you
go. Okay.
So yeah, the commercial GCs are really driving it because the standard hard hat has four straps and a bunch of dead air, and it was designed to protect you from falling objects.
From going down like that, okay.
And it does that great. It does that great. But now in today's world, we're more concerned about people falling, whether they're working at height or whether they're on the ground. Most head injuries.
The person falling and not something falling on
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Okay. The person from most falls are from 6 feet or less, which they refer to as slips, trips, and falls.
Correct. Okay.
And when you fall, boom, no chin strap, the typical hard hat falls off and you're exposed.
Okay. So the typical hard hat, is it like when you do a slip, trip, and fall, was it just falling off of the person?
Correct.
Interesting. Okay. And there were no chin straps.
No chin straps.
Very good. Okay. Yeah. So that's why this transition was created. So how is this looking like now? Are people catching on to this? Is it?
People are catching on. So people are realizing that, yes, like if we're spending $250 on our steel-toed work boots to protect our toe.
Exactly.
maybe we should spend more than $20 on our head protection so we can go home and take care of our families and provide for them and enjoy the things that we love to do, right?
So. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, a lot of sense, right? You're right. Those boots are expensive.
So on top of a chin strap, the real driver in the last, you know, maybe couple years, the ANSI standard for hard hats is Z89.
Okay.
And there's a type one and there's a type two. Type one protects you from top impacts.
Okay.
And type two protects you from top as well as front, side, and rear. So basically 360 degree coverage.
Okay.
So there's not too many type two helmets on the market. We were one of the first. And
nice.
The type two now has kind of become sort of the benchmark of what people expect or what the industry wants, a type two helmet. And they don't have to ship with a chin strap. However, we ship all of ours with chin straps.
I would suspect, now I don't know this, but if somebody's been wearing a hard hat forever, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, and then they have to start wearing a chin strap. I feel like people would be like, I don't want to do that. That looks stupid. Or I'm not a child.
Exactly.
Or whatever. Does that make sense? Because my husband refuses to wear a helmet, period. You know? And like if he had to wear a chin strap, he would be like, I don't want to wear that stupid thing. You know?
Yeah. So when I first started meeting with safety directors early on, before we even designed the first helmet, that was the comment I got over and over.
Absolutely.
Those climbing style helmets look stupid.
Yes.
They don't have any brim.
Because I'm a cool dude and I don't want to wear a chin strap.
So, yes, we just launched that helmet this morning.
How fun.
It has a full brim. So, yes, the chin strap for somebody who hasn't worn a chin strap is going to be a hurdle. You do. Oh, it's tucked in the back.
Okay. Let's get that out.
It was buckled.
Because I need to put my chin strap on. Go ahead.
The chin strap will be a hurdle, but we have hundreds of customers and we've been part of this transition. And when the executive team buys into it and says, we are providing this to you because it's safer.
Yeah.
And by wearing a chin strap, and most of them are making it a requirement. You're not allowed to walk around like this.
Okay.
It's required because we care about you. And because
mine so easy? My bike helmet, it feels impossible to put
magnetic.
On. And this, I just got close and it snapped.
Fidlock buckle, yeah.
That was amazing. That's very helpful.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. So this is magnetic?
Yeah, it's a Fidlock magnetic buckle.
So how is a magnetic buckle going to stay? Is that safe?
Yes.
Because it feels like...
It passes the standard. So if you ship your Type 2 helmets with chin straps, which we do,
okay.
Then there's a requirement that they're tested for elongation and roll-off. So
got it.
They're tested to a standard. Now, you can sell in a Type 2 without a chin strap, but then it won't be tested.
Okay. So what do you, I mean, is this something that you're, feels like an uphill battle a little bit, right? Or people, I mean, I bet you, if I were to think, the management is like all in, and then some of the people are like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
that.
You know, if management, when they're all in, they'd say, you know what, we're going to make this transition because we care about our people.
Right.
Maybe they had a head injury that cost $500,000. So the investment in better head protection is kind of a mute point.
Right.
So once management says, like, we're doing it, like, if you don't like it, then
right.
I guess you go find a new job.
And in 10 years, this is going to be like...
This will be the standard.
This is the standard. And everybody's going to have one and it's not even going to be a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So what different kinds do you have? This seems like mine has a little...
Yeah, so this was the original SHK1 we launched almost 2 years ago now.
It's a pretty helmet.
And it's a more climbing style, but
it's a... What do you say? It's an attractive helmet. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a cool helmet.
It's... Good industrial design.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. So it's got a little brim.
Yeah.
You can't have too much of a brim if you want a visor to work with it. So we
Does
have
it
a
just
half,
clip on the
we
front?
Have a half shield that
okay.
mounts here and it comes under and sits right here. And
yeah.
then we have a bit of a drip edge in the back for rain protection, just to get the rain over your collar.
I love
it does,
that.
It's not going down your neck.
This is a great helmet.
Thank you.
I bet you're proud.
Yeah, it's been exciting. We're definitely...
So how on earth did you get into this?
Well, I had a head injury when I was 16. I hit a tree ski racing. So
there
I've
it
been
is.
Pretty passionate about head protection. I worked in the ski industry most of my career as a ski racer. And most
a ski racer?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
No way!
And most recently, before starting Stutzen, I was working for a Swedish brand called Pock.
Okay.
And they make premium bike and ski helmets.
Nice. Okay.
And they are huge in ski racing. They make the best ski racing helmets on the planet. So I was working for Pock, and a GC in Portland that I knew approached me and was like, do you know anything about industrial safety helmets? I was like, no. He's like, well, they had had a head injury and they were going to make the change during Construction Safety Week in May. So I went home and I was super intrigued. I went home and looked online and was like, wow, there's really no innovation. And I was very familiar with all the innovation in the ski and the bike world,
yes.
as well as stuff you see in like equestrian or football helmets.
Mm-hmm.
There's much better materials than just two straps.
This is so interesting. You're right. Because like it seems like everywhere else has these really innovative helmets.
Yeah, most industries have...
Have
progressed.
Absolutely. I mean, I have had a head injury and I think once you have one, I always wear a helmet and I
yeah.
wear my chin strap and it
yeah.
just, and it doesn't. Yeah. I mean, it changed my life. I mean, I was out of work for a month. I mean, it was, my concussion was so severe and I had a helmet on, you know, and, once that happens to you once.
Yeah.
It's scary.
They're hard to recover from. Luckily it was just a severe concussion and not a TBI because, we have a brand ambassador who suffered a traumatic brain injury and it took 8, 9, 10 years and, you know, he almost lost everything. So it can be devastating.
Wow. Thank you. This is really, what you're doing is really cool. And you're so passionate about what you do. And what a great, I just think this design is cool. What you're doing is cool. I love the strap. And I see why this is like the next phase of head protection.
Industrial head protection.
Yes.
Yes.
Very cool. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been super fun.
Absolutely.
In this next segment, I talk with Grayson Garrett. And so Grayson was an EMT for the fire department for 1 year, and then he moved to private health and safety. And check this out, he's 24 years old, and he is the health and safety manager for Krispy Kreme Donuts. Not only is that amazing, but it's fascinating about how he got there, and he's gonna talk about that. We're gonna talk about his safety tattoos. He has safety tattoos, and they're really cool. So I can't wait for you to look at those. And he opens up about his mental health issues for men.
Okay, I'm here with the king of Krispy Kreme. Hey!
Hey guys, it's Grayson.
What's up? This is very exciting that you work for Krispy Kreme. Does everybody think you're so cool?
Oh yeah, they call me the donut daddy sometimes.
Oh my God, I can't even handle you so far. Okay, it makes sense though.
Yeah.
So you are the
I'm the corporate health and safety manager for Krispy Kreme.
And how old are you?
24. I turned 25 next week.
How is this possible? Like, this is the greatest gig and you are killing it at 24.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you hit like a low point in your life, you kind of have to just build off of that and build off of that momentum. So I just have fun with it. Have fun.
Are you willing to talk about the low point?
Yeah. 2019 sucked.
Tell me about it.
Like therapy talk wise? Or
totally.
Like,
let's do therapy talk. I love therapy talk.
2019, I was fresh out of Utah, moved to Tennessee.
Ew.
I was engaged at the time and didn't work out. So I did hit rock bottom and went for a little vacation in the Grippy Sock Institute.
Ooh, nice.
But, you know, I learned there that like the U.S. Mental health system is void. And so you kind of have to take that momentum and try to fix your life around that. So I got an opportunity to move from fire and EMS to work in private health and safety.
Okay.
And so I started with Coates Textile as just a health and safety technician. And then after like 6 months, I got promoted to a health and safety manager over multi-site. And then my growth just blew up from there. I worked in process safety management in a chemical glue manufacturing facility. And then one day out of the blue, Krispy Kreme hit me up and was like, hey, you look like the perfect fit. And I was like, I'm in. Multi-site and
well done.
Going big, going home. I come from a family of safety professionals. My dad is a safety professional as well. So
are these big shoes to fill?
No, we're on two different tracks. Everyone likes to compare him and I together. But in reality, he does construction and I do manufacturing. So,
okay. So what about your personality? Because, okay, you hit rock bottom. I want to know about that if you want to talk about it. What was the deal? Was it drugs and alcohol?
No,
was it actually suicidal?
Yeah, it was suicidal.
Yeah. Okay.
And the stigma around men's mental health is we're all a statistic. That's at the end of the day.
Don't even get me started on this.
How we are.
You know,
and I didn't like that. I didn't like that version of being another number, being another statistic. So I was like, you know what? And I'm a little bit prideful and I'm like, I'm not going to become another number. So I'd try everything in my power to avoid that.
Yes.
And, you know, go to therapy, but also staying busy with work. You know, I don't have time to pout and blame myself when I'm taking care of like 15,000 babies.
So I think that you're in a really special position because you're vulnerable and you are probably predominantly work with mostly men. that you can... No?
No, it's actually a pretty good mix.
Yes.
So,
this is awesome.
You know, like in our retail shops, we definitely do see more like females in
okay.
our retail shops.
Okay, so you, yeah.
And a lot of our like big manufacturer, like managers are all female. So like the-
I'm loving this about Krispy Kreme right now.
The mix plant where we make all the mix for the entire world. That's a female run plant. She's a great woman, great boss. And then, and a great team up there. So I love it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So you can just, you know, continue to show up exactly the way that you are and in this male dominated field and be just the freaking coolest human that you are.
Yeah. I definitely have a new, vision on safety. I'm not like your old school safety managers or anything like that.
No,
you know,
you're not.
I have a safety possum tattoo, a safety raccoon tattoo.
Your tattoos are beautiful. They're beautiful. Like this very like Americana.
Oh yeah.
Like
everything's American traditional.
It's and, just absolutely stunning.
That's where my Krispy Kreme paycheck goes.
Dang right it does. I see that a mile away. So, I'm like, those
are expensive.
Love
them. And you know, it's okay to express yourself and be who you are. And at the end of the day, just have fun with it, you know?
So what do you think about this like macho dude that's like safety manager, man?
I mean,
was that how your dad was? Like, what was your dad like?
Not at all. My dad's more, he's still macho man because he has all the construction and everything. But he does bring a different, he has more of a hands-on approach to safety. And then I took that and ran with it and just engraved it into me, more hands-on. Like, PowerPoints don't exist to me and everyone gets weirded out because I'll never do a presentation with PowerPoints because it's not effective. You know, I'd rather get people up and jumping around and something that they're going to remember instead of, oh, this is just for safety.
So why do you care about safety? What is it about safety that you're passionate about?
I think for me, no one calls safety on a good day. So trying to be that like voice of reason and also with like my EMS and fire background, it's just kind to help people out. Like at the end of the day, no one, you know, you don't really get recognized or awarded in safety, but I know for a fact that I'm doing my job right, that people get to go home 10 fingers, 10 toes if they showed up with 10 fingers and 10 toes. So
what is, so in terms of Krispy Kreme, like what is something that you think that Krispy Kreme is doing right with safety?
I think they're finally starting to focus on it. You know, Krispy Kreme is a brand name that everyone knows.
Yes.
So now we have to live up to, hey, if we're going to be the top sweet treat in the industry, we should have the top safety in the industry.
Love that.
And so they brought me on and given me full reign to control and overtake the entire program, and I love it.
This is great. Okay. So what's next for you? Like, what are you most excited to learn at this conference? Like, what are you coming to learn or be better at?
I think for me, you know, I'm still young in my career and I still got a lot of growing. I take, you know, different sessions and everything. I'm more looking for employee engagement. At the end of the day, if, you know, I can get everyone up and singing Kumbaya and all that, I'm cool with it, you know, but I just don't want to revert back to old school safety ways. I think those need to stop. Like the whole, hey, you're going to get fired for not wearing PPE. I understand it, but there's a teaching aspect to it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I can go around yelling at all my employees. That's not going to benefit me at all. You know, I'm trying to develop a long-lasting program. So using resources here at the conference and also just connecting with people. I'm a very social butterfly. So I'll talk to anybody if they give me time.
Thank you. I love it. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you, and you are such a breath of fresh air in this space. So thank you for sharing yourself with me.
Well, thank you so much. You're appreciate welcome. It.
Thank you for joining us on the Safety Storytellers Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Sospis, bringing you the best EHS software in the industry. If you are ready to learn more about how an EHS software can transform your safety program, your profits, and your entire company, head to www.sospis.com/podcast. That's www.sospes.com/podcast. We'll see you next time on the Safety Storytellers.